Let's open our Bibles. It's wonderful to get back into 1 Thessalonians. We've been away for a couple weeks in it, but I know God is faithful, and I'm so thankful for just the Word of God and how refreshing and, again, how it anoints our lives, and praise His name for faithful brothers and sisters who bring forth the Word of God. But as we left off, we'll be in the third chapter of 1 Thessalonians this evening, but we left off there in chapter 2. We saw Paul's earnest desire to return to those Thessalonians. And specifically in verse 18, it says there that Satan hindered him. Satan was the one that hindered them, but some people get a little bit alarmed with those types of things, but let me tell you something, everything's still under control. God is totally and completely in control, and this was totally and completely willed of God. Satan is only allowed to do what God allows him to do. And I've been troubled many times because I think sometimes as Christians we seem to give too much credibility to the enemy. We understand that he has a wonderful purpose. And I say that and some people think I'm kooky. But we know, as we know the Word of God, he's essential to tempt us. God has that tempter to allow us to be tempted, and that's what He uses, and praise the Lord that in that allowance, He knows perfectly what we need in order to finish this race with joy. And I'm thankful to God that I think we're becoming a people full of faith and not full of fear. When we said, "Lord, I will go," we've rejoiced in that, yes, He heard us. But He's causing our hearts in faith to know the Word of God and know it's going to be a way of suffering. It is going to be a way of suffering. There's no doubt about it. If we're going to reign with Him, we're going to suffer with Him. We know the Word of God tells us that. We are a people about wanting that place with Christ, not for our glorification, but to magnify and glorify Him. Because that's the place that He wants for us. You think about that of His good parents. They want their children to succeed. They want their children to go on in life. This is far beyond even that. Not just as children, but as the mature sons. And let's just put it to where God so bluntly does. He wants a bride for His son. And He wants her. And she's going to be complete, perfect in all the will of God. And it's so wonderful to know that she will fit that wedding dress. It's already been made. It's already done. And she will be sculpted. Praise God. And that sculpting, that's the trials. Those are the tribulations that He has before ordained that we should walk in them. And praise God, we're going to rejoice in that this evening. But I want us, before we start, to turn over to Acts chapter 17. And this will put this a little bit more in perspective of where Brother Paul is at this time. And how he came through Thessalonica. In this very first ministry journey. And in verse 1 of the 17th chapter of Acts, it says, "Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them." Isn't that wonderful to have that kind of a manner, that is not afraid to preach the Word of God, that there is a boldness to go freely and being led of the Spirit, not being ashamed of the gospel, and just get in there. "So his manner was, he went into them, and three Sabbath days reasoned them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. And whom of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews believed not, which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of baser sort." Isn't that wonderful how he says that? I kind of think that's kind of funny. "Certain lewd fellows of baser sort. And gathered a company and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, 'These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also.'" And they did. Praise God. It turned it upside down. And it's never stopped. And that name is the name that sets it all off all the time. Every court hearing that we have, the Supreme Court, pretty much all it's full of in its dockets is things about Christ and free speech and the Bible and prayer and all of those things. It's all about Jesus. Isn't that amazing? That little Jew, all the way back there in that time, as my Jewish friend said, as he went there on the backside of nowhere, it had to be something to get out of that place, he said. So, I just keep praying. You too, okay? All right. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city. And when they heard these things, and when they had taken security of Jason and of the others, they let them go. Verse 10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night. So here they leave Thessalonica unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Isn't that precious that when we say about being a Berean saint, we want to search the scriptures daily. We want to see that these things are so. We want God. It's not that we're trying to get a mental attitude here. It's because we want it working affectionately in our heart. I want to know Him. I want to know my heritage. I want to know, praise God, my title deed. And this is what this is. Now, therefore, many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. But when the Jews of Thessalonica, now think of this, here they are, those Jews of Thessalonica again, I'm going to have to get a drink, had knowledge that the word of God was preached. I get a little excited when I start reading the word of God. I hope I don't get too going here. The love of God constrained me. The word of God was preached of Paul at Berea. They came thither also and stirred up the people. See how they do this thing? They stir up the people. They're stirring up that hatred. They're getting that emotion involved completely against the things of God. You can see they basically become like animals. And that's exactly what's going on here. That's why he said the grievous wolves that were coming after them. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea. But Silas and Timotheus abode there still. And they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens. And that's where he sits today in this, or I should say, as we're studying today, in this third chapter. And as we begin this third chapter, that same longing to be back with these saints of Thessalonica is still burning and is the burning desire of Brother Paul's heart. So let's start reading verse 1 of chapter 3 of 1 Thessalonians. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. So here we have Paul. He's sitting here at Athens. He's fled from the Thessalonians. He's went to Berea. The wolves are still chasing him at Berea. He ends up at Athens here. And he's sitting there wanting to return to these saints. And finally, the desire is just so great within him that he turns to Timothy and he sends them, and he sends him to know their state of faith. Isn't that wonderful? He wants to know their state of faith. And I rejoice as we start here for this brother Timothy. You think of the confidence that was in Christ in Timothy that Paul saw in that dear brother. How he treasured this vessel. That this was a vessel that was full of truth and love. And he was sent to those saints to establish their faith and establish them against the opposition. And as we read these first three verses, I think it's important to look at this, that there were three qualities of this ministry that was in Brother Timothy. First of all, we see that he had this wondrous desire to be a minister. We understand that he was a brother in the Lord. And we understand as well, too, that he was a fellow laborer in all the gospel of Christ. And I think how precious. And as you read the Word of God, you'll find out that Brother Timothy was not just sent to the Thessalonians, but he was also sent to the Corinthians, and later on he was sent to Philippi. So what a precious vessel. And you think about Timothy. There he was, so scared and in a sense alone. And Brother Paul had to come to him at that time and said, stir up the gift that is in you. Isn't that precious? He had to stir it up. Now let me tell you something. That gives me hope. There's times I'm sitting there and say, Lord, there's nothing that I have to give. And he looks at me and he says, and you're exactly right. You have nothing to give. But I'll tell you, I do. And I want to use you. And I praise God that, you know, He can get us out of our gloom. He can get us out of our, we think that we're unable for anything. And that's the truth. But it's in His ability that He can use us. And I just see this in this precious brother so much. And praise God, it was so wonderful that Paul wanted to get back to these newbies in Christ because he knew the potential that was lying there. He knew that this was a group that was truly would be willing to go after the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And you think here, when Paul sent Timothy back, it wasn't that Paul was caught up into trying to save the masses. He wasn't caught up into trying to save the world. It wasn't like that at all. Paul heeded the voice of the Lord. Do you remember what the Lord said to Peter? He said, Peter, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. And you think where Christianity is headed today. Pretty much anything and everything I see anymore, brothers and sisters. However Christ is preached, we rejoice. He that winneth souls is wise. But Brother Paul was not sent to baptize, was he? He was sent to preach the gospel. And as you break that down, that was the gospel that Paul was given. And that was Paul's gospel to give out unto these people, which truly is the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So thanks be to God that we have been in and under a ministry that is feed my sheep, that is here to establish the church, and most importantly, to preach the gospel. Because that gospel that we receive, brothers and sisters, is the power for everything. It is. The Word of God is the power. And look at what we're reading here. It's the very power, as it says here in the second verse, to establish a Christian. It's the power to comfort a Christian. And it's the power to build faith in a Christian. It's the all-powerful Word of God. And I challenge you to think, where is so-called Christianity going in these three parts of trying to establish or comfort or build? They're not looking at the Word of God. Oh no. Establishing today is how big is the church? How many are in the church? You think about comfort. Well, the comfort can be many things, but mainly it's of the mind. We'll try to figure out how to give you some type of a fluffy story that'll make you look into the mirror and say, I'm okay. I look into the Bible and I realize that I'm wonderfully and fearfully made. That I'm a child of God. That I have it all. Praise God, it's all here for you. And then finally, in faith. People looking everywhere to find faith. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. And that's it. That's the only place you'll find faith. That's the only place that faith and how faith will be built in our lives. And it is the all-powerful Word of God. And if we're looking anywhere else for a foundation or for comfort or for faith, you'll never find it. You'll never find it. There's times that we'll think that we're happy. There's times that you'll think you'll cycle through and say, well, I'm satisfied for right now. But it'll be a satisfaction that will leave you. And it's the truth. And you know folks that have been like that. I believe we've all maybe been in that place where we thought that something else besides God and His Word would satisfy us. Whether it would be work, whether it would be a relationship, whether it would be something other than the Word of God. But you know what? You're not your own. And the Word of God tells you very specifically, this is your satisfier. It is. And I'm thankful to God I'm learning that. As I settle down and as I speak to different Christians and trying to testify to them. And a lot of times they'll say, well, how do you do it? And have you had somebody ever say that to you? How do you do it? How are you always maybe happy? And I say, well, you're not around me 24/7. But I am happy in Jesus. I am. But that you're excited about the things of God. That you're looking and loving His appearing. And I'm not trying to magnify myself. It's just what the grace of God will do in your life. And that's what I tried to point them to. I say, it's the Word. And then they look at you kind of blank-eyed and thinking that that's going to satisfy me. I mean, I have to sit down and actually read this Bible? Let me tell you something. Feed on the Bible. This is Christ. This is His Word. This is His truth. And since I am His, this is the fuel for everything. When He said, grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, this is what He meant. Believe it. Have faith. Then it will work effectually in your life. Everybody's looking, just like Israel did, for a miracle. Something in here. By the grace of God, I want to be looking from here. And that's the difference. I'll know the ways of God. And man, if I can just know one way, and another way, and another way. Isn't that marvelous how it is? I don't need to see all these things. As long as I see Him, I'm seeing the greatest miracle there ever could have been. Praise God. All right. But see, brothers and sisters, it's the gospel that holds us sure. In it, we are not moved. By the grace of God, we are not tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. I get very saddened for people that are like that. I know that there's people that I've been in their homes, they're sweet Christians, and they have books upon books upon books upon books. And I don't know what the next book of the month is going to be. By the grace of God, you've got the Word. Study it. Feed on it. There have been brothers and sisters of like precious faith that have been moved by the Holy Spirit to give us such wonderful, wonderful studies. You could never know them well enough. You can't. And that's where I just encourage you, get into the Word of God. I looked a lot of places at certain times. I thought I was going to study this and it would make me a little bit more expansive in my view into the things of God. All it did was waste my time. All it will do is waste your time. And I mean that, brothers and sisters. I don't mean to sound harsh, but you know, the Lord's coming. And if we're not going to stand for something, you're going to fall for anything. And that's the truth. And by the grace of God, He's put us in a place that we need to stand and withstand. And having done all, stand. And by the grace of God, I believe He'll enable us to do that. But in this gospel, it tells us, praise God, that the trying of our faith, and we know this, is more precious than gold. It is. I'm so glad that I could rejoice with a sister this week that the light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. That these trials that we're suffering in right now aren't worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Amen. Amen. All right. Can He turn it in our heart to say, Lord, thank God that You're counting me worthy to suffer with You. Yeah. You talk about seeing something half full or half empty. And it's never half full with the Lord. It's full and it's flowing and it's running over. Praise God. All right. Because we know in this Word, brothers and sisters, that God, and we said this earlier, has created for each one of us, I think, how precious we are to the Lord. He's given us our own special package of before ordained good works that we should walk in them. He saw you in ages past. He knew exactly what each one of us needed. And He calls them in this point in verse 3, appointed afflictions. Do you know that you have appointments with afflictions? And as you yield to God, you're not going to be late for any of those appointments. You're going to be right on time. There's times I think I'd like to drag my feet. There's times I think, well, Lord, could I miss that appointment? But you know what? If it means winning Him, is it worth missing one? Is it worth turning away from one by the grace of God? I think not. And I believe in our hearts we know that this is only God that can bring us into this. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, it says that they that live godly in Christ Jesus should expect persecution. Expect it. Know that it's coming. It's not going to be the lotus land of ease if you're going to go on with God. The devil will just leave you alone if you don't want to go on with the Lord, pretty much. But I'll tell you what, and you step out in faith, you're going to fight the good fight of faith. And it's going to be game on right then. A lot of people don't like me saying game on. You read the Word of God, it talks about that crown being that game, that race. It's all over the Word of God. Let me tell you something. It's the greatest race. It's the greatest fight. It's the greatest crown there's ever been offered. And praise God, it's winning Him. All right, let's go on to verse 4. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know it. And this is the testimony of the faithfulness of God. We will suffer with Christ. If we will reign with Him, we are going to suffer with Him. The Word of God tells us. And God is always about bringing out His best. God cannot create anything that is not perfect, if you think about it. We're already holy and righteous. If you go up to heaven as a child of God, let me tell you something, you're a perfect child. But by the grace of God, He wants us fully mature. It's not that there's going to be any imperfection up there. It's the level of maturity that we're going to meet Him with. Isn't that precious? Praise God. See, God knows what He's doing, and God knows this work that's going on. And then there in verse 5, it says, for this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I love this about Paul, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. So Paul was a little bit concerned. Like a mother hen on them, wasn't he? Stirring them up, wanting to know, how are you? I love it. He so loved these saints that it wasn't necessarily just the communication that he wanted. He wanted to know the state of faith that they were in. That was the only thing that meant anything to him. It wasn't how many were in their meeting. It wasn't, was their church growing? It wasn't, were they going to build another building? It wasn't in how their outreach ministry was going. It was simple. It was one thing. How's your faith? How's your faith? Where do you hear that anymore? Do you see the famine that's out there for the Word of God, brothers and sisters? It's the faith. And faith comes but one way. And this is something we need to really face and understand, that this is what Christ is after in our lives, is this wondrous faith. Were they growing, was he wondering? Were they abounding in this faith? Was the Word working effectually in them? And this should be our cause as well too, brothers and sisters. And everything else is secondary. Praise God. Do you see how simple it is? The simplicity that's in Christ? What He's after? I'll tell you, we have a God that is so faithful and so true to us. He didn't make this a complicated thing. He put it all in His Son. And He said, know Him. Grow in that wonderful Son. And I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit that 'll come and enter your life. And He'll bring everything to you. Isn't that just such a wonder? Praise God how that works. Praise God that it's not our working. Praise God that we can sow and we can reap of His wonderful Word. All right, verses 6 and 7. But now, when Timotheus came from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. I was thinking, I was speaking to Brother Smith. He delighted like this. I want him to know that we delight to see him. I think sometimes, you know, some of these ones that are out there, they don't get a lot of contact with folks. I mean that. Get some sweet letters and all. But I want them to know that we love them. I want them to know that we appreciate the faithfulness of God in their lives. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you because of this in all our affliction and distress by your faith. And I just say praise God to this. Here is Brother Paul, and I'm thankful as I read about his dear life and how much suffering he had. I'm so thankful that he is abounding in joy and that these brothers and sisters brought him that great joy. Now, do you see the Christ type in this? That as we abound in this hope, this is how we bring joy to the Son and to the Father. This is it. I'm so grateful to God. I know they're smiling upon us this evening. because we are rejoicing in the Word of God. We are here in the love of God. The love of God is magnified here because of the presence of Christ and that we have asked Him to come in His name. And praise the Lord, he was waiting for word. This was Brother Paul concerning their faith. And as it comes in, and even though he is in this time of such persecution, even though he is in a time of complete loneliness and a little bit despairing because he's wondering how these Christians really are doing, he wasn't thinking of himself. And I can't even imagine the physical pain that he was in, being persecuted and on the run all the time. Maybe hungry, I don't know. Hiding from house to house. Literally. And yet he's not thinking of himself. And praise the Lord, their faith, it says right here, comforts him over all of these trials. I think that's awesome. What a medicine. The love of God is an incredible medicine. Praise His name. I don't know about you, but I want this in my life. Praise the Lord. This is, when you talk about manifold blessings, this is part of the manifold blessings of the Lord. That your faith, think about this, your faith can lift me out of my despair. That's amazing. That's what the love of God does. Now do you understand how perfectly and completely and tightly we're compacted together? We're one in Christ. You got to step out of here. and we got to go heavenly here. But that's what it is. And that's the beauty of the Philadelphia love, this agape love, is it. If I'll quit looking at self and start looking at the work of the Lord, it's going to bring me the greatest joy there ever could be. And I'm living that by the grace of God. I am. There was some times these last couple of days, I'm telling you, I was just so tried. I mean, there were some really deep things trying at me. The closest things in my life were trying at me. And by the grace of God, thinking upon your faith, reading this word brought me joy unspeakable and full of glory. And only God can do that. And it's real because it's the word of God. And when we believe it and we'll apply it to our lives, it just happens. It appears. Faith makes that substance. It makes it real. It's tangible. It's right there for me. And I can be lifted up in Spirit, immediately upon every remembrance of you. And that's for you as well, too. By the grace of God. Isn't that so amazing? Meant a lot to me. Praise God. But it's not just my faith. It's yours. Huh? Praise the Lord. And notice specifically here, it was their faith and love. And the evidence of true faith. Please listen to this. The evidence of true faith is love. Absolutely. You can tell me you got all the faith to move mountains, as the Word of God says. You could speak with the tongue of men and angels. Give all your money to the poor. You can do all that thing. If you don't have the love of God, it's profitless. And that's truth. Great faith always emits great love. It does. It can't help but. Because when this word, which is faith, comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, when it really is that faith and it works effectually in my life, it can't help but produce love. You get this word in your life, as our pastor used to say so many times, the love of God comes in your life and you can't help it. You just love everybody. You do. You want them to grow up. You want them to go on. I don't care what you did to me. I can't remember it anyways. And that's the truth. God can do that. This isn't just forgiving. This is completely having it removed, never to be remembered again. It's the truth. God can do that in our lives. You bring it before the Lord. He said that He would take the things of Him and He'll make it mine. And that's everything. There's no limits to God. That we would grow up into Him in all things. Do we believe that? Christ-like? So much like Him like that dear brother John, the one who had even touched and held him, put his head upon his breast, and there he was up in heaven, keep bowing down to that guy that was bringing him around. Now get up! Don't bow to me. You're just my brother in Christ. I'm just like you. It's all over the Word of God, isn't it? The four living ones. I get so excited about this. The ones in the midst of the throne. They're the absolute, complete, perfect image of Him. She has His glory. She has her own light. It's Him. It's Him. I'm so thankful to God that Christ in me is the hope of glory. He glories in that. And that's what God is waiting for, to display her with Him. Oh, how do we get there from this? Could you imagine? It's all over it. Praise God. But this is the joy unspeakable and full of glory that was in Brother Paul's life. Paul was exceeding joyful because these brothers and sisters, they wanted to see him. And in wanting to see him and yearning for him like he was yearning to see them, he knew that that was the evidence that they had embraced his gospel. It wasn't something about, oh yeah, that Jesus is great and he's a great friend. And he's always with me. And that's a wonderful thing. But there was passion going on here. They wanted to hear the word. They'd show up on Wednesday nights in 2008 to hear the word of God. They come to prayer meetings because they know there's something there. Do you see it? See what he's doing in you? I hope you do. If we could only see what God sees in us, oh, how happy we would be. Verse 8, for now we live if ye stand fast in the Lord. And how this strikes my heart, brothers and sisters, because really this is something that I think, especially as a pastor, is the passion as a minister to see the flock grow up. Is that the passion? And by the grace of God, and only by grace, I can say he gave it to me. He did. He just said, there it is. It's nothing that we can try to work up. Can't fake it. It's just what God does. And there is a passion. There's a passion to be here. And you have it too. We want to be in the presence of brothers and sisters of like precious faith. It's just that infectious love that goes on. And we're going to read a little bit more about this. Here we go. Verse 9 and 10. For what thanks can we render to God again for you? For all the joy wherewith we joy, for your sakes before our God, night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now you talk about a heart full of bridal love. Really, you talk about a heart full of bridal love. This is the fervent bridal love of the union among saints. I had a dear sister encourage me recently in the 133rd Psalm. It says that we would dwell together. And I appreciate that word dwell. It means to settle down in marriage. That's how we're supposed to dwell together. At that level of fellowship. Now I'm talking about a marriage that's in harmony, like the Lord would want. We're not going to go there tonight. But that's how he's called us. Isn't that wonderful? Remember when we talked about that bride? Christ is the head. And then he's got the body. We better be in love with the body. What do you think? Huh? I've never seen too many heads just show up at a marriage. You got the whole thing, don't you? Well, think about it. All right. But here he is. He's beside himself. He's joying in all joy. Night and day. Exceedingly to see their face. Now, I have to tell you, how intimate is that? Now, come on, really. Night and day thinking, praying to see somebody's face. That's somebody you really love. I mean, you really, really love. And see, you can see that he was head over heels in God's love, in love with them. Longing to see and to dwell with them. Brothers and sisters, I hope that would convict our hearts the much the more as we see the day approaching. And that's it. We should want to gather. I visit with people, and I'm not trying to hurt anyone, but that take it lightly about coming to church. That can come and could fellowship. And I've heard the same old thing. Well, I know that truth. I know about the bride of Christ. And let me tell you, they could take you through Scripture and they could show you those types of things and all that. Well, I've seen people be married before. And I could tell my wife, well, I know about marriage. I know you'd put a ring on and buy a house and, you know, and all that. And that's great. But I'm not going to stay here. Now, that is not going to last long. If you know Polly, that's not going to last long. And that's the same way it is with the Lord. You might know it. You might observe it. But you don't know it. And you're not living it. Those that love His appearing. There's a love. And when you love His appearing like that, you love to see the faces of those that love His appearing. Because it's there. It's there. It's there. It's there. You can see it. And you want to be. And that's why the Word of God says the much the more. And I can speak that in my own life. As the Lord has drawn me into that love, I love to be in the house of the Lord. I do not like to be away. Even on vacation, I covet to be back in fellowship with the saints. Now, I know that God has to moderate that, in a sense, so I have harmony in my family. But God knows, and I'm so thankful. But we need to have that. And only God can give us that. It's not something that we do out of duty. We do it joyfully and willingly, thankfully, knowing that I'm grateful to God to ever even step in a place where people are looking and loving the appearing of the Lord. Isn't that awesome? Praise God. What a privilege we have. All right. So, it's an intimate thing. It has Philadelphia Church written all over it. But then here's the biggie. That we might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now think about that statement. We know that our faith needs to be tried in every way. Did you know that? God needs to exercise us. And He's going to hit us, by the grace of God, at our weakest things. Or things that maybe mean the most to us. He's going to try us with that. Because He loves us so. And whom He loves, He chastens. We know the Word of God is true. And it's not going to give us anything that's not going to come to pass. But we need to be tried in every dimension of our faith. We need to know in that faith every dimension of God's love. We need to know the depth and the breadth. And the length and the height, all of those different dimensions. And that's what faith does, because then we know God in all of these different ways. We know Him in the mountaintop. We know Him in the valley. We know that His love is never ending in that wonderful breadth and in that length, how He's just always there. In so many ways that we could interpret that. But I think about what it's saying here with Paul. Paul is being used to perfect that which is lacking in their faith. Specifically Paul. And I get to thinking, well, what could Paul really do? Well, the only thing that Paul could do is preach the gospel. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. They needed the full counsel of God, is what they needed. Brothers and sisters, I hope we see the importance here. That we need the full counsel of God. That we need the Word of God preached in its completeness in our lives. And nothing lacking. I was thinking how many times I said here over the years. And I love how Brother Hill would say it. Quit eating out of the garbage can. You're going to go all the way through that garbage can just to find a scrap. And that was the truth. When you've got a table set by the Holy Spirit. Come on. We don't need to be looking in all these places. We need to be looking to Him. And praise be to God. This is what He has given. And I pray that we would settle down with it. I was encouraged of a brother. I mentioned it a few weeks back. We've been dealt the hand that could never be beat. We have everything. Don't lay a card down, just hold it. So now that everybody's offended that doesn't like cards, I'll just say it this way. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Okay? All right. I learned to count with cards. I'm sorry. My dad. But see, God still saved me. Praise His name. All right. Because, brothers and sisters, the reason we need to have nothing lacking is the time is now for all the complete and perfect will of God. Paul was always in his ministry. It was a full court press, wasn't it? It just was. He was intense. You know? And I'm starting to appreciate it. And people say, brother, you're intense. I am. By the grace of God, I want to be intensely in love with His Word. And I don't want to let anything slip or slide or lacking. By the grace of God, I want to be used as a vessel to encourage, to build up, to edify, to complete anything that might be lacking, to be used of the Holy Spirit to say, Lord, what do we need? God, what do we need today for this meeting? Lord, upon my knees, what do we need to hear as a people? To come out of here, a people more full of praise, that we can become that true worshiper that worships You in spirit and truth. That God, that we would have a fire that burns more fervently every single time we come out of this place. And I mean it. That's my desire. I don't want to stagnate. The love of God never stagnates. It grows brighter. The flame grows higher. It's awesome what it can do. And that's God's work. All right, let's finish it up. 11 through 13. Now God Himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another. Not just abound in love toward the Lord, abound in love one toward another. And toward all men, even as we do toward you. To the end He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. Now here we go again. The coming of the Lord. And not just the coming of the Lord, but when you meet Him, He's talking about the spotless church. I love that. He's after these 3 week of testimony saints. He's given them the full court press. God doesn't throw around His seed willy-nilly. You've heard this message. It's for you. You may have not been in this very long, but it's for you. He knows your heart better than you know it. You can sit here tonight and you can say, well, I don't want to go on. Let me tell you something. He wants you to go on. He's given you a heart to go on. He's placed you in a place that you can receive this message. I believe He's faithful to His Word. Amen? All right. So this is so important as we begin in this 11th verse. Whether it's for our ministry, our testimony, our lives in general. Is God directing us? Is God directing us? God has to direct in order for increase ever to happen. That's the grace of God. It's His path. It's His way. See, man's quest sometimes for fame or recognition, self-righteousness, it's always often the motivator for religious furtherance. And I don't want any religious furtherance. How about you? I'm tired of that. I'll clean myself and brush my teeth. But I want it to be spontaneous with Him. Don't you? I want to get on my knees and say, what are we going to do today, Lord? I'm just going to tell You thank You. But I don't know where You're going to take this prayer. I don't know where You're going to take these thoughts. I had this lady helping me clean the home today. And we were talking and the Lord just hit me and I just had to stop. I said, I got to go right. Well, I had one kid in one room. I had another kid in another room. A vacuum was going on in this room. But you know what? The Lord, He can just seal all that off. And I sat right there on the couch, put my feet up in the air and it was wonderful. Praise God what He does. But this is Him, and I want it to be like that. He wants it to be like that. And this is what is so beautiful, is these brothers and sisters are receiving Paul's gospel, and look what happens. We get here an increase in faith. They begin to be saturated with the Word of God. I think how Brother Hawkins had brought that out in that study, how precious. Brother Copley talked about it so many times in his studies, to be saturated in and with the Word of God. You can never get too much. You really can't. Not just on the walls by the grace of God, but in my heart, that it truly is my life, because that is your life. It's faith. And what appears here, which is so precious, is it's the 1 Corinthians love. The 1 Corinthians 13 love, to be more exact. Christ's unending, unselfish, always present love. Is that what he's building? Praise God, I believe it is. And what a barometer of faith in our lives. We already talked about this. It's love. If we are not full and overflowing with love, I believe that we're stagnant in believing the Word of God. It's true. When we're at a point where we're not loving, when we think that we can't love anymore, when we think that we can't love someone, it's because we're not believing the Word of God. It's the truth. As we believe the Word of God and we embrace His Scriptures and we ask Him, Lord, give me the grace to believe this, He'll break it through and it'll happen. And you know it. And I know it's happened in your lives. And tonight, I do encourage you, if there is any bitterness, as the Word of God says, we got to get rid of that root. Not just a clipping, the whole thing. We don't want it growing back by the grace of God. And when He delivers, let me tell you something, He delivers. And then you think, well, what's this big deal about? The big deal is Jesus is coming. And you've heard me say it many times. And how you finish is what counts. I don't care what's happened in the past. Isn't that wonderful? And it's not do over. It's just continue on and run well. That's the beautiful thing about the Lord. And that's what He's looking for. It's the finishing. And Paul's gospel preaches nothing less than all the fullness of God. Finishing. Being ready. Loving His appearing. Being full of faith. As He hit me today, son, are you living today as if you know that I'm coming today? Am I living today as if, Lord, I know You're coming today? That's a big one. In closing, Brother Copley notes, he says, hearts full of faith Godward and love increasing manward. May we be affixed of hope towards Christ's appearing. We will be steady and assured in a world so uncertain and reeling. A vision solidly upon Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Thank You, dear God, for this time of fellowship. We appreciate, again, the love that You continue to pour out upon each and every heart here. Lord, just, we ask, show Yourself mighty. Lord, You're there. May we break up the fallow ground to allow that wonderful planting to go on in our life. May we not be slothful in the sowing of the Word of God, and as the Word continues to even encourage us to reap the grace. Oh God, what a privilege. Thank You for bringing this forth this evening. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for hearts that love You. And we give You the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.